Thought Press Network.
A big thanks to all our sponsors. Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento is a subscription service that brings a box of comics to your door every month. Check out our website, thetalkinggeekpod.com. Click the link, subscribe, and wait for your comics to hit the mailbox.
Pedro Pimps Poe.
Pedro Pimps Poe. All right, we are fucking back. It has been a minute since we have done this, but we are returned with another episode of us talking about some motherfucking comic books. So,
that's right.
So last time I gave Q a little bit of homework after Preacher to read Fatale, which is a noir style. What's interesting is that it is very noir style, but it takes place across very long periods of time, as you'll find out in later volumes. This one, I believe, starts in the 60s, or jumps back and forth between the 60s and current day, and that time starts getting shorter and then getting longer, shorter, longer, depending on the poor saga that this leading lady is dragging everybody else around with her. So, so the basic premise is, that there is a... Oh, now, I actually have to get the back of the book, because I read this, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
When I went to my first San Diego Comic-Con, I actually bought this on the last day, because I had gone through the whole convention, and I hadn't bought a single fucking comic book.
So you're like, that's impossible. Not happening.
No. I'm not going to allow this to fucking happen. So I went, and I picked up Saga, and I picked up Fatale, which, giving it, at least for me, I was like, holy shit, this is probably the best two things I have picked up at a fucking convention.
Oh, you picked up Saga for the first time in a convention?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Because I had actually, of all places, the fucking Herald
wrote
about Saga. So, and then I saw who was writing it, and I was like, okay, well, this is the guy that did Why the Last Man, so clearly I have to jump on it. And, well, that's...
A long time ago.
That is history, baby.
Yeah.
But, so, what you got is you have a guy named Nicholas Lash, who ends up finding out some history about his family involving a woman named Josephine. And as you would expect from, like a noir-style book, you have Josephine being the femme fatale and kind of dragging his whole family, specifically his uncle, through some pretty gnarly shit. But then things get even more complicated when there's a cult and weird eldritch monsters getting involved, which clearly Nicholas is not prepared for, but it seems to be something fairly regular for Josephine. And his life is irrevocably changed when she starts fucking with him.
Yeah. So, okay. For one, Saga was my intro to very, very sci-fi comic book reading.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
Yeah.
This one took
It's not really
me...
science fiction, though.
No.
This is more fantasy. This is like horror fantasy.
I guess you could say that. I guess you're right. It's definitely Saga sci-fi, given its time and place.
Saga's
super
horror sci-fi.
Yeah, horror sci-fi, and this is not. I'll say this about this. So I did start reading it, and it took me a while because I've been just busy. We've got a wedding coming around, and
all the work at Vibes too.
So everything's going crazy. But I finally was able to sit down and read it. And I will say that at the beginning of it, it was confusing. That time, and it wasn't just time; it was the jumping of time and not characters, so that I didn't know what was happening. It wasn't like it said, and 30 years ago. It doesn't do that. So it more like you're reading this one story, you notice that the art kind of changes or the look kind of changes.
You do style changes to kind of set itself
differentiate,
in different
right.
time periods.
So at first, it took a while for me to understand that that's what was happening, like that I was going back and forth because your narrator stays the same. So the narrator is your current guy, and who is Hank's godson, if I'm not mistaken. So he's still the narrator that's kind of telling you this story, going back and telling you kind of more or less what happened, and then you're jumping back to him, back to what was happening with
as
his godfather.
As he's like finding out more information.
Exactly.
So like he doesn't have all the information either.
Right.
He's doing his own investigation, so he's getting this piecemeal as each issue rolls by.
And that's kind of how we're getting it. It's every time he figures something out or is under the impression. But see, that was another thing. Like I felt like for a long time, like I was following Hank and not Hank's godson in things that Hank's godson doesn't know yet.
So the impression that I got from that was, depending on what he was finding, was that there was just a lot of information. So we're just seeing Hank telling the story, Hank as the main character, but it's
narrated.
As narrated by Nick.
Okay. And that I could see. So I will say that it was definitely, this is definitely something that I would read trade to trade.
Yes.
More so issue to issue.
Issue to issue would fucking enrage me if I did that.
Yeah. What I think is that it wouldn't have piqued my interest the first two issues. I could see that I would have probably not continued to read it.
Yeah.
Because it's so vague of anything in that first two, because it took me halfway through the book that I was like, oh.
You start, yeah.
Okay. Now I'm here. Now I'm with it. So that was definitely something. Now, it's not a bad story. It definitely ends with this level of intrigue of who Josephine or Joe is and why she's causing this havoc all over the place. Because in the first volume, you don't get that. In book one, I don't know exactly what she is. I know that she is not of human form 100%, but I don't know.
She's not 100% human.
Right.
Is a better way to put
yeah.
it. Yeah.
She's not 100% human, but I don't know what she is or why she has this ability to attract and absorb and send people into vortexes for her. Like, I haven't been able to figure that out yet.
Well, her thing is that, like, take the idea of a femme fatale, of the woman who draws in men and makes them do some things, and take it to a literal level where she is literally manipulating the opposite sex.
Which she does through powers that I can only assume that she has. Because there's certain moments where she's... Well, there's certain moments where they say, where she says things like, I can't feel him anymore, or I can't feel his presence anymore. So it's almost like she does, I don't know,
like
maybe
a sixth sense.
Like a sixth sense through certain things, or the way that she was able to convince somebody by just talking to them to do a certain level of thing. It felt very like fatal with like Kilgrave powers,
yeah.
Like to a
well,
certain extent.
That is actually something that she talks about. I don't know if she says it in the first book or the second book, but she mentions that she has to be very careful about how she says something, what she says, how she's feeling when she says it, because it'll change what happens.
So it's like Kilgrave meets Preacher.
A little bit. There is an element of it, but it's the reasons why it happens is obviously way more horror based. I mean, the cover has Josephine reaching over with tentacles fucking coming right behind
her. Yeah, which is why I guess I thought sci-fi at first. I was like, I don't know what this is, this creature, this being, but it is more demonic. So there was just a lot of storylines that I think for the first book, you had the story of Hank that we don't know why he has died. His godson has just gotten into his house. His house has been ransacked. They've been looking for what seems to be this last manuscript that Hank has written. This manuscript that Hank has written is the story of him and Josephine.
Yeah.
But you kind of don't figure that out right away. And then you jump in time and you're finding out about these crooked police officers who have kind of been working with these mobster type people, and one of those crooked cops also has this weird connection to this Josephine chick.
Yeah.
This Josephine chick also is going back to the future where Hank's godson has got this manuscript. She wants the manuscript. Like, there's a lot
or
of...
Or back to the future, or same person that hasn't aged at all.
Well, that's where I wasn't
right.
Like, what was going on until the end, that I was like, oh, okay. And you really get that in literally the last three pages.
Yes.
Where one of the characters says the actual year in which certain things took place in that particular house in that particular story, which is in like 1906, I think he says, or 1902. It's between 1902 and 1906. So that's when you start to piece things together. But it is a lot of different storylines, because you are now following Hank in what you think is your first noir story, which is him just finding out about crooked cops and getting himself into trouble.
Yeah.
So you think that that's one thing, and you think that his godson has found a manuscript that God knows what it means. Then that turns weird because you meet this Josephine chick, and now you see that that's an odd thing. Then you find out that this crooked cop is also connected to Josephine and is looking for some sort of eternal life and some like cure to some like deadly disease that he's got. So I'll say that again, I would probably read the second book to get some questions answered. Definitely, if you're going to read it, do it book by book.
Yes,
that would be my main suggestion to anybody who's going to try this out. I mean, definitely try it out. I mean, it's a good, interesting way of looking at noir and flipping it into that fantasy world and adding these different elements to it. The payoff at the end of the book made the confusion in the first half of it worth it.
It's very much like a noir story where it's just like you're not given all the information until like in the last moment when it has that punch where you're like, oh fuck, okay, yeah. This is way more complicated than I've gave it, you know, any. Gave it as much credit for.
Yeah, I mean, when we were talking midway through reading it, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to this is taking me longer to read than I had actually anticipated it was going to take me.
Yeah.
And then I got towards the end, and then it was again just a lot faster because I'm getting questions answered and I'm trying to finally understanding what it is that's happening, so that I have a level of interest in its outcome. There was a few twists at the end there that I was not expecting, mm-hmm. which was from that police officer who was connected to Josephine. I thought he was doing one thing, and then I thought I was like, oh no, he's been this really cool guy, and then I was like, oh no, you're not being a really cool guy at all. So it was. That in itself, that character in itself, and what their choices were at the end of it all, and that twist with Hank, what the fuck? That's the answer I want. Like, you sick bastard. I don't know how to not. Okay, spoiler alert.
This is a couple years old. I mean, you're coming here. Just know. Okay, spoilers.
Yeah, at this point, I'm going to spoil it because if you were listening and you wanted to all of a sudden read it, then I won't ruin the last of it. But if you have, and you guys are just listening to what my thoughts were on it, that twist where it's Hank's son was actually cut out of his wife to be turned into this demon again. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
And that in itself was like, oh, holy shit. And then so you had the police officer who made you think he was turning in Joe. Then you think he's saving Joe. And he's this really cool cat that all of a sudden at the end ended up being this awesome guy, even though he put everybody through a bunch of fucking bullshit. And no, he made it so that this guy could live again.
Yeah.
Which at the end of the day, I have to ask why. What was the point of that if he died anyways? If he was looking for eternal life, he didn't get it, or does he?
Keep going.
Because, I mean, the last we see him, he's carved something into his shoulder.
Yes.
I don't think that either they explained it and I didn't grasp it, or they didn't explain it. But I know that he says that he carved his sacrifice for her into his arm. I still don't know if...
They do go into more detail.
They do later. Because, so I know that he's bleeding from that, but he's also dying... from actual, like, legitimate health issues that he's been dying from. He's been coughing up blood and all that kinds of other stuff. And he's in the cavern. But no, he's... at the end, they make you think he died. Because they say that he ended up being the hero. Even though he was a crooked cop that was a part of this cult. He is a hero because it looks as if he turned... made a 180 and decided to go after the cult and ends up in the tunnels underneath the city with all of them. So while he was a crooked cop that led to a lot of deaths and a lot of the cases that he was actually proceeding over, they in turn turned him into a hero who, I guess, just turned on his people.
Yeah.
So they kind of mentioned that. But the baby aspect of it was rather interesting. The fact that now... I mean, it's obvious that that's going to be a legitimate issue later on, except that I already know that Hank dies. So is that son going to be an issue for Hank, or is that son going to be an issue for Nick, who is already with Josephine?
If I remember correctly, it is an issue for Nick.
For Nick. I would assume
Nick,
so.
Nick is the character that's going to take all this, a lot of the stuff that he's just getting his information that he's found out about Joe, because he starts investigating and then he gets wrapped up in all of it, because as you noticed, any man who gets involved with Joe...
Well, she immediately gets him into a car accident.
Yep.
And he immediately, immediate. Like, they met, she asks him for this shit, all of a sudden he's into a car accident, she saved him and take him to the hospital, and he's waking up like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
But it was a decent read. It was a decent read. Something that's not up my alley when you talk about somebody who reads a lot of Iron Man and, like, Walking Dead and things like that. So it was definitely a nice little switch of thing. I will read probably book two. Not immediately, but I would
read...
Oh,
no, yeah. There are many other things I have in line, but I thought this would be, like, a good mix-up.
No, it was definitely a good mix-up, especially looking back at what I've already read. So it was definitely a good mix-up. I liked the idea of a noir type of comic book, I would definitely suggest that any comic noir books you get into, it's just probably best to read them book to book,
yes,
volume to volume.
In general, anything by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, like that team is Image, one of, I think they're the only team that Image has to an exclusive contract.
Okay.
Where they work together and they have carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they want, because everything that they do is massively successful creatively, financially, critically. There's the stuff that they put out is always fucking gold. So,
yeah. So I mean, check it out, guys. It's definitely interesting. And if you like noir and if you like that kind of horror-esque things, there's definitely some elements to that, especially towards the end. I'm assuming that that'll ramp up as the volumes go on.
Oh, it definitely ramps up, yeah.
Yeah. I'm still interested on what kind of a cult this is.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw Red Hoods. And it made me, I don't know, every
so
time
you know,
I see...
If you ever heard of H.P. Lovecraft, you might be familiar with what kind of stuff that they're going for.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And so next time, I don't know if this is the first time we're going to the second volume of something. This might be the first time that we are actually continuing a series.
I think so.
We are doing second volume of Wicked and Divine.
Fuck yes. Even though I already know that something was ruined for me when it came to the second volume of Wicked and Divine.
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Okay. Well, for those of you who heard the first Pedro Pimps Pulp, where I read the first Wicked and Divine, you'll obviously know that I have an extreme obsession for Lucy.
Yeah.
Although, at the end of Wicked and Divine 1, that love was quickly removed from my world.
Where Wicked and Divine, their fourth full volume just came out, and they're in the middle of doing the fifth volume right now. Things have gotten drastically more complicated, as you might expect, and whatever you may think of how the gods are set up are not what you expected, so...
Okay. Well, then, good.
So just think of that. If you had, especially at the end of the second one, the end of the second volume has a terrible fucking cliffhanger.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I will definitely be checking that out. And next time we meet, when I finish the volume 2 of Wicked and Divine, I will have for you, sir, a trade, because I've been able to give you Superior Iron Man.
Yes.
Which I still stand by strongly. Everybody.
It's very good. I quite enjoyed it.
I will have another volume for you.
Superior?
Superior. I can give you the rest of those issues, though, because I have the complete...
Oh, you have the whole run.
I have the whole run. I have the whole run and maybe even alternate covers the entire run.
It just kills me that it got fucking killed so early for
stupid
reasons.
I was very upset. Although, I will say that Invincible Iron Man that came out afterwards hasn't been so bad. I mean,
I'm not saying it's bad. It's just like it takes that idea, like, oh, this is a great idea, and we're just gonna fucking nerf it halfway through.
Yeah, and then that happened because of Secret Wars, and that's kind of one of the things that didn't survive. I actually would have rather that survived than other things, but they couldn't keep that type of Tony, and that's just the truth. They couldn't keep that kind of Tony, and I'm okay with that. I just wish that it would have been like, well, we're still going to keep this alternate universe Tony coming out over here, because it really was an interesting story. But I'm gonna have a trade for you, but I won't say what that is until I bring you back the second volume of Wicked and Divine.
Secret
lovers.
Find out later.
What's going to happen? But yeah, that's been Pedro Pimps Pulp.
That's right. It's been Pedro Pimps Pulp. Until next time. Bye, 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 bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to The Talking Geek. Make sure you check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. I am Q the Face, and you can follow me at Q the Mic on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter as AV Nugget.
You can follow me at Pedro Cortez Get on Twitter.
You can find me at @all_human on Instagram.
You can find me also on Instagram at Cuban Polar Bear with the underscore in between.
Make sure you also check out our website, thetalkinggeekpod.com. Thank you for listening. Rate us. Love us.